Returning now to our conversation with Alan Dershowitz. He says this is Russian KGB tactics being used in America for political power. Listen to this.
And if you target somebody and then you figure out if you can find a crime against them, it's Stalin and Lavrenti Beria, the head of the KGB, who said to Stalin, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. That's not the American way.
Well, and here's the problem, Professor. We've been shown the man. They've tried to find the crime and show us the crime over and over again. Russian hacking, the dossier. They impeached him after he left office, which is not what the impeachment is about in the Constitution of the United States, the way I read the document. And so we've shown them the man. They can't find the crime, sir. That's the problem.
That's right. It's different from Al Capone. Al Capone, they were searching for a crime because they knew they couldn't get him on murder. So they indicted him for an income tax violation. But he really did violate income tax laws. He didn't report his illegal earnings. Not in this case. In this case, they have searched. They have worked. They have dug. And they produced a mouse named Mickey. It's a Mickey Mouse prosecution. And it's just not worthy of America. It's not a righteous prosecution. It will form a terrible precedent. I guarantee you that future presidential candidates will be targeted as well. And remember, the big sin here is not going after a former president. That's big enough as a sin. It's going after a man who's now running against the incumbent to be president. And in order to prosecute somebody like that, if you're from the opposing party, you better have a videotape. You better have a confession. You better have better witnesses than Cohen and Stormy Daniels and some of the other people who are going to be testifying against him.
Yeah, what they're doing here, sir, they're using the weight of the law to destroy their number one political opponent. That's what they're doing, isn't it?
Of course. Of course. And every civil libertarian should be opposed to it. But most people on the left, the woke people who have no longer a status as civil libertarians, they only care about woke and progressive culture, are cheering this on. They're cheering this on. They're forgetting the history. They're forgetting McCarthyism. They're forgetting that in the Deep South, when I was working as a civil rights supporter, they used to go after civil rights activists, find anything they could, any little technical violation, and throw them in jail. They did that to Martin Luther King. They did that to so many others. And we civil libertarians strongly opposed it. Today, some of these same people are strongly favorable to targeting Donald Trump in the way the civil rights workers were targeted in the 1950s and 60s.
How did we get here? And a serious question. How do we get it? Because from the time you were a young man and a young attorney, you believed in the freedom of speech. You believed in the discourse, the vigorous discourse and different ideas. Your ideas were supposed to win. But today, the liberals, if you will, the new liberals, want to silence anybody that doesn't agree with them. If you don't pass the litmus test, you're silenced, you're deplatformed, you're canceled. And then you attack political opponents using the full weight of the state's machinery to grind people up and destroy them. This is not America, right?
No. Glad you used the term old liberal. I'm a liberal. I have never changed my liberalism. I believe what I believed in the 1950s when I fought McCarthyism. I believe what I believed in the 60s and 70s when I defended people who are Vietnam protesters. But the world has changed around me, and there are not too many Democrats who are left standing as genuine, true civil libertarians who will defend the rights of people they vote against. I vote against Trump, but I defend his rights under the Constitution. And I defend my own rights. I want to have the right to vote against him for the third time. And you should have the right, or anybody else, to vote for him for the third time. That's every American's right. And no district attorney should be able to take it away by making up a false crime. That's what's going on here. This is the most serious breach of law by a prosecutor in the 60 years that I've been practicing criminal law.
That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? Real quickly, I want to get to Judge Jeanine Pirro. She hammered home the fact of these people are totally obsessed with getting Trump on anything while ignoring actual crimes by a host of other people. It's bite number 11 with Judge Jeanine Pirro. We can get in real quick. Go.
But what we have here is the ultimate Trump derangement syndrome by Trump haters. You've got Alvin Bragg, who makes a decision on a case to go forward with it that the FEC declined, the Southern District of New York declined, Cy Vance, the DA, declined, and he declined himself, Alvin Bragg, the DA of Manhattan, until Mark Pomerantz, who worked in Bragg's office for free, writes a book in violation of all kinds of ethics, saying that using evidence that he learned from the DA's office, that Donald Trump deserves to be indicted. This is a highly unusual theory that can't pass judicial muster. Number one, it's a misdemeanor, falsifying a business record. That has a statute of limitation of 2 years. So what they say is, we want to make this a felony. How are you going to make this a felony? You're going to bootstrap a federal crime to extend the statute of limitations 5 years. But that's still beyond the statute of limitations. Plus, how does a state prosecutor get the right to prosecute a federal crime? Who gives that person jurisdiction? It's not within his bailiwick. And how does Bragg take a state law and turn it into a federal law? He is not the legislature. So now what we've got is, did Donald Trump, by paying Michael Cohen, the $130,000 that he owed him, because Cohen paid the Stormy Daniels to hush money. And by the way, that's done every day, folks. It's called a non-disclosure agreement. You pay someone to not say something. It is not illegal. So it is then listed as a legal expense. And therein lies the core of the offense. Now, Hillary Clinton created the dossier, the Steele dossier, paid for it, and called it a legal expense. She wasn't indicted. The FEC said that was illegal, but she wasn't indicted. And then we've got Hunter Biden. They then use all of the federal, the intelligence agents, and they use all of the people from social media, and they get all kinds of in-kind donations to suppress that document, which led to election interference. They're not being indicted, but what they're doing is they are taking issue with Donald Trump in a way that will fail under any microscope.
Any microscope. We'll continue to dig into this, the big story of the day, right here on the Steve Cooper Show. Back in a moment.